How many can agree with this? He's been faithful.
Amen.
I'll dare say he's probably more faithful to you last year than you were to him. I'm going to say it again. I dare say he was more faithful to you last year than you were to him.
Amen.
I'm glad for a God that is faithful.
Amen.
If you got your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter number 11. I love this psalm I'm going to preach on tonight. I got something on my heart and want to help you tonight. The Bible said, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Here's a great statement that I'll cover in a moment, get back to in a moment. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What a statement. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. I want to preach tonight on this statement in verse number 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's some very important foundations of the faith for the church, for the country, for the Christian home, for the Christian himself. There are some very important foundational things that we must uphold. Because if the foundations be destroyed, listen to me, what can the righteous do? Now let me give you the background of this psalm. This psalm was written between the time that David came to Saul. Remember the story how Saul had an evil spirit? By the way, I want you to know something. Saul's leadership collapsed because of his evilness. And I'm going to say this. Saul's leadership collapsed because of his total disobedience. Somebody help me right there. That's a fact. The background is when David came with his harp to play and to soothe Saul. And by the way, it worked for a while. I mean, he liked it. But here's what happened in the life of Saul. Saul started getting jealous. Hey, Saul started seeing David as a threat. Come on, somebody help me here. He saw David as a threat. I want you to know something. You hear me out? David was not the threat, but Saul was the threat. He saw David climbing up and ascending to a place of authority. And by the way, long before Saul got out of the throne, God already called and said he was going to lay his hand on David, and he anointed David as king. Can I say something to you? Saul was a threat. David knew that God called him. David knew that God was in control. But David knew that the leadership of the nation was trying to destroy. I want to say this to you tonight. I don't really want to be plain. This government does not like us. For the last 8 years, this government has done everything they can to attack our very foundation. Somebody help me. When's the last time you've seen them nine folks or eight folks now in their black robes making their... By the way, nobody called them to be judicial activists. They're supposed to interpret the Constitution, and that's it, and that's all. And I want you to know something. I wasn't always a Trump man, but if Donald Trump would just get the right Supreme Court justice in there, I'll be happy. My expectation not real high in government anyway. I know, hey, my hope doesn't stand on Donald Trump. My hope stands on Jesus.
Amen.
Just thought I'd just get my cholesterol rolling good on that. David's forced to make a decision. By the way, whether you like it tonight or not, you're going to be forced to make a decision. Where are you going to risk your life? What's your life going to be rested on? What's your marriage going to be rested on? What's your Christian life going to be upon? What's this church going to be in the next 10 years? I say if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm going to make another statement. I'm going off on it a little bit, but you hear me. God is not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
He is a respecter of principles. It's not who you are that counts. I know in a lot of circles it's who you are. I know in a lot of these churches that's for no more. It's who you are. But I want to tell you, it's not who you are. It's what you are. David makes a decree here. He said, I want you to know something. My life's going to rest on Jesus. He said, I'll tell you what, I got something established in my life that no one can bring down, and that's the foundation of the Lord. Upon Jesus Christ I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
I'm not talking about a trend. I'm talking about truth. I'm not talking about Chad, a fab. I'll tell you what, I sit in our churches. I even sit in this church. You know what? I see folks get wrapped up in trends instead of the truth. I'm going to be honest with you. You look at me. Can I just give you a little, this much of a testimony. When I got called to preach, I've been preaching here a few years. I have preached at a lot of Bible conferences and a lot of big Bible conferences. And you know what they've always tried to do? Wonder which box I was in. Is he a house guy? Is he a Pensacola guy? Is he a Tennessee Temple guy? I mean, I've had it all. And by the way, they haven't figured it out yet. Because I'll be honest with you. I done refused to be in their ecclesiastical box. They're not boxing me in. I'm not going to let some left winger box me in. Somebody help me preach right here. I'm not going to let some liberal box me in. Some school guy that thinks he's so smart. And by the way, I'm going to just make this statement. And some of you can like it. Or you can lump it. Or you can just turn the cat around. But you hear what I'm about ready to say. If you heard this in Bible college, you heard a lie. That wasn't in the original Greek.
Hey,
yes, sir.
By the way, you got a Scofield Bible? How many got one of them? I own one. It's got in the Scofield Bible. Wasn't in the original Greek. I'm sorry, Dr. Scofield. They don't have an original Greek. There's not a complete original copy. Man, I'm preaching right here. You know what it is? You've listened to some professors say, oh, this is the way it's got to be. You know what? A lot of those Christian colleges now, they're Reformed theology. They're Calvinistic. They're getting away from God. Hey, let me say something to you. We need to stay back and stay on the foundations that have worked for this church and our families and our... Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Because I say if the foundations be destroyed, where will the righteous be? Now I'm going to tell you what David's saying, and I'm getting to the message. I'm not going to compromise. I want to say this. It's just sure not a pat on my back, but it's a fact. There has been a lot of change at Taylor Valley Baptist Church. We've changed some of our methods. If we want to, we'll have a 5 o'clock service. I never read in the Bible where it says, thus thou hast half a 7 o'clock service. Church has that authority. Am I preaching? Oh, I'm coming. I'm trying to get my wheels moving here. I want you to know something. When I came here 39 years ago, and it was 84 on the Sunday morning I came here, you would have not told me that we'd have what we have and all the ministries. And some ministries have changed, and some methods have changed, and ways of ministering has changed. You never told me we'd have, hey, Angie, you never told me we'd have the kind of food bank we have. But there's nothing wrong with changing your methods. But there's one thing that can't change for your home, for your church, for your Christian life, and for this country. And that is our foundation cannot change. Because if they change, what will the righteous do? This great church will be destroyed if the right, if our foundations be destroyed. I'll give you four things and I'll be done. Whew. A lot of introduction. First, number one, the absoluteness of David's confidence. I want you to notice what he said. Listen to this. Boy, this is good here. In the Lord put I my what? Trust. Number one, where was his confidence? It was in a person. It was in the Lord. Hey, my confidence isn't in some Baptist group. You know, there's some of my Baptist brethren, they blow my mind. I'm sorry. Some of them, they hate each other. I mean, if you're in the sword crowd, they hate this other crowd. And that crowd hates the sword crowd. And I really thought you were supposed to love everybody. By the way, I can have a sword guy in my pulpit and not feel like it's crazy. Come on, help me here. I've had some of that. By the way, I don't run by the beat of their drummer. My hope's not in some convention. My hope's not in some Baptist group. My hope is in the Lord.
Amen.
That's where my confidence is. It's in the person. And then the placement. Look at this. In the Lord put my trust. Come on now. I want to ask you something. I'm coming right down after you. When the rubber meets the road, when you're pressured by culture, when you're pressured by the way people are doing, where have you placed your trust? Come on. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. But I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord is a high tire. You want to put your confidence somewhere? By the way, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. That's scriptural. But please, 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 please. I don't have Superman under here. I can't rip it off and have Superman. No, I'm a flesh just like you are. I'm a person just like you are. And by the way, I got to put my trust in somebody just like you do. But for 39 years, I've been walking up that pulpit, not in the name of Buddha, not in the name of Muhammad, not in the name of some religion, but in the name of Jesus. Hey, by the way, some of you putting your confidence in all kinds of junk. All your friends. Hey, some of them real friends you think you have, that you run them with, the ones that give you all your bad advice. It's the most dangerous thing in the world to listen to a bunch of carnal friends that think they have your... Oh, they'll tell you what you want to hear, but it's only God will tell you what you need to hear.
Amen. Amen.
My preacher.
Yes, sir.
I woke up today wanting to preach, huh? Number three. Listen to this. Not only the person and the placement... Look at verse 1. The possession. My trust. My trust. You look me right. Look right in my eyeball. My trust in the Lord. He's took me through so many battles. Could any of y'all get up, if I stop my sermon right now, could any of you get up and testify? He brought me through. There was a time that I had nowhere to turn, but I turned to him. I put my confidence in him. I put my trust in him, and he brought me through.
Amen.
Number two. Look in verse 1b. When I say B, it's the second part of the verse. The advice from his companions. Listen to this advice. Flee as a bird to your mountain. Here was their advice. Run. David, Saul's after you. You're in jeopardy. Get out of here. There have been a few times, Jeff, I wanted to run. But I got to ask you a question. Where can we go but to the Lord?
Amen.
You know what some of you are doing? You're following the advice of the council to run. You know what you're running from? You're running from godliness. You're running from a firm foundation. You're running from teaching that you've had since you were a child in church.
Amen.
Good preaching, Reverend. Can I say this? Be careful who you listen to. And don't be following people that are not right with God. Oh, you're good preaching, Brother Smith. How am I going to get advice about the church when somebody don't even believe in the autonomy and the independence of a local church? How am I going to get any advice to tithe when somebody, they don't believe in tithing? I'm going to run a rabbit here. This is the end of this beginning of the year. I'm going to keep this thing in the water. If this ever entered your mind, I'm going to go ahead and get it out of your mind. We don't do yard sales. You say, I went to a church that done yard sales. They're out of the will of God. You don't support God's work with the yard sale. And I know, hey, by the way, I've seen people leave this church. I want to tell you, I've seen people leave this church. They done lost their mind. They go to churches and they head the yard sale committee. Hello. We don't need to get a car wash to send some kids to Guyana. Just take the money God's given us in the treasury.
Amen.
We don't need to go have a yard sale to support some program in the church. How about our tithes and offerings doing that? I'm going to say this. It's going to get quiet in here. If every one of you tithe the way you're supposed to, we'd never have to worry about one burden anyway financially. Wait a minute. Good preaching.
Amen.
Let me show you a second thing here. Whew. I know you got friends. I don't watch much Facebook anymore. I got an account, but I know some of y'all wake up at 3:00 in the morning, check your status. God help you. And your mind's warped. But I want to tell you something. What little I've seen on it, some of you got some friends that are wicked. And why haven't you defriended them? And you know they post stuff on your Facebook that's on their Facebook, and you share statuses? Am I preaching, sir?
Amen.
I want you to know something. Social media isn't everything it's cracked out to be. Let me give you a second thing here. The cause he resented. Look what they said to him. Look what they said. Look at that. Flee as a bird to your mountain. You know what he said? You know what he said just before that? How say you? What in God's name are you talking about? I'm not quitting praying. And by the way, I know it's a holiday. I know last week on a Monday was a holiday and some couldn't come to prayer meeting. I understand that. Ain't nobody going to beat you over the head over that. But that don't mean we won't have one. Because I still think revival comes through praying. And we're going to have one tomorrow night. And I know it's a holiday and you have family in. And by the way, if you're going to get there, I'm not going to get up on Wednesday night and say you're the worst heathen and infidel that ever lived. I'm not going to do that. We're just coming as a group to pray. Whoever's there, we're going to have a good time. Pray for revival.
Amen.
But I'm not quit praying. By the way, I'm not going to quit living for God. How say you? Are you lost your marbles? I had one of my preacher friends call me the other day. He asked me this question. I guess he had good motives. He said, when are you going to retire? I said, it ain't on my schedule. I said, I guess as long as I'm healthy enough to preach and I got the same. I'll tell you when I'll retire, when I lose my passion. When I don't have any zeal left, when I can't lead this church in the right path, I'll stop then. But I'll tell you when that probably be is when my mind starts going. Hello. Or I have a heart attack and just can't do it physically. But I want you to know something. I'm not retiring, I'm refiring.
Amen.
Hello.
Yes,
you know, 65 is the new 50. You should not really it. No, yes, it is. Man, I feel as strong in my mind as I did when I was 50 years old. Hey, you don't have to lose it because you're older. You still can go for God. You don't have to quit. Hey, why are we telling our older people they're useless? They're not useless. They're some of the greatest minds in this room have matured and older, and thank God for them.
Amen.
I thank God for the next generation. But I don't want to upset y'all's apple cart, boys. I'm going to tell you something. And I'll let you preach. But I don't doubt, I don't think right now you're the place I'm going to call on you for a life-changing decision. Good preaching, Reverend. Hello. But there are some people up here with some years on them. There's some people I really have counted on, and I've seen your faithfulness over here. I want to tell you what, I won't mind getting on the phone and calling you up and saying, pray for this preacher. I tell all of you, pray for me right now. Pray for me and my wife. I want you to know something. I ain't used to this, me taking care of the house stuff. I'm a good camper. I've got a good attitude about it, but I want everyone to go on record. I hate this stuff. I took my wife for granted too long. I will tell you this. Oh, good Lord. I wouldn't have her job description for nothing, son. I'd rather put up with a bunch of badness than I would washing dishes and making coffee. And do, oh, yeah. I'm the only one that can mess up a one cup coffee maker. We all right, Jared?
Good.
Let me go on. I want to finish this sermon by 7 or so. Number 3. Look at verse number 2. And number 3. The agenda of the corrupt. I don't want to upset all y'all, but everybody just don't feel about God the way you feel. And look here in verse 2. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, and they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. They got it. They got weapons, and they aimed at you. Let me ask you something. Can you look at me for a minute, will you? Has the devil been successful in getting you off track last year? Has he discouraged you about something? Has he made you quit, made you stop, got you frustrated? Come on now. He hates your guts. We're under attack. Help me believe that.
Amen.
And you say, how they do it? Privily. Oh, you know what? Pastor wore last Sunday. He had some wire-rimmed glasses. You know what the pastor, him and his wife got another house. Who gives a flip? But you know what? The devil is privately, privily going behind your back. And sometimes he uses little Christians and little demons and he uses people that says they're saved to do that. Hello. He said, preacher, I've been discouraged. I've done like David. I just fleed. I got upset. I stopped doing some of the things I do in church. I know it wasn't right, but I did it. Why did you do it? You listened to somebody carnal. You may even listen to your own heart. I want to tell you about my heart, okay? I'm almost done. My heart's deceitful and wicked. Listen, I'm finished. Lord have mercy. I want you to notice, fourthly, the actuality of David's conviction. Hey, by the way, I like it when people are who they say they are and they put their faith into action. Look with me in verse number 4. He said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Number right down right there, position. By the way, he's still Lord.
Amen.
Last time I checked, he's still in control.
Amen.
Notice, go on with me. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Speaks about his power. I want you to know something. He's still all powerful. I'm going to make a statement here, and I think all y'all know this. If you don't know it, you're going to learn it right now. The devil's not omnipresent.
That's right.
You know, I love some of you Christian people. You make statements, though, that just not really theologically accurate. Well, the devil, he's been after me every day. Well, he may be after you, but it probably wasn't him. It was one of them imps, one of them fallen angels, a demon. But God's on the throne.
Amen.
Notice the prescription here. The Lord trieth the righteous. His procedure in verse 5. He trieth the righteous. You know what? How many of y'all agree with me that the Lord allows you to get into some hot water to see what you're made of? Come on now. To see if you really got what you say you have. But I want to give you some good news. Look at verse 6. Can I make a statement? Man, I got to stop preaching here in a minute, but I got to make a couple more statements. Have you ever read the psalmist? And when he talked about why good things happen to bad people, and sometimes bad things happen to good people. Right? How many of y'all ever felt that way? It looks like them wicked people are getting it good and us righteous people are getting it bad. Read verse 6. I like this. He said, upon the wicked he shall rain fire and brimstone. I want y'all to know something. I don't want any of you to be bitter this year. Don't try to get even with anybody. Because see, vengeance belongs unto the Lord. I want you to know God's going to write, he's going to cross every T and dot every I, and he's going to right every wrong. Amen. You said some of you might be saying tonight, I've been done wrong. I was done wrong in 2016. Hold on, man. First of all, you ain't the first one been done wrong. And you won't be the last one. But instead of you getting all bitter and angry and frustrated, just leave it to God. Let him do the punishment. Let him take care of the wicked.
Amen.
And look at verse 6. Boy, I just like to do expository preaching like this. Upon the wicked he shall rain fire and brimstone, horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of corrupt. But he said, For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. You know what the Lord wants you to be? A young man, young lady, mom, dad, you want me to tell you what God wants you to be? Pure. How many believe God still wants purity? I told you this morning, I'm stepping up my game. Mrs. Elkins, I'm not saying you ought to be something that I'm not. I need to be pure. Are you pure? Or are you doing impure? That's probably not good grammar. You're doing things that's wicked. Lastly, look at this. I'm glad I'm ending like this. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance to behold the upright. Let me ask you something. Come on. How many of you got kids? Raise your hand if you got kids. You ever just look at them and you're real proud of them and you smile at them? You smile. They make you happy. During the holidays, I'm done, but I'm going to give you a story. During the holidays, we had the kids down on Saturday on Christmas Eve, and I won't tell you what, I had a smile on my face. My boy was there, my daughter-in-law was there, my son-in-law was there, my daughter was there, and better than that, that grandbaby was there. That's better than all of them. Amen. I love grandbabies a whole lot more than I do children. And I tell you what I done. I had a smile on that old my face about like that. I was smiling. But I want to tell you something. Let me ask you this. By the way you're living and the way you're believing, is God smiling at you? Is he looking at you down here at 2017 and saying, boy, they're faithful. They're going to stick with the church. I guarantee you when the end of 2017 comes, they ain't running off nowhere. Because they love God.
Amen.
See, I tell you what I want most in 2017. I want God to smile on me.
Yes.
How many of y'all want God to smile on you? You know what I think we ought to do? David said, I put my trust. Where are you placing your trust at tonight? In the time some of you ought to say tonight, I'm coming around this altar and I'm not going to let the things that defeated me last year defeat me this year. And I'm putting my trust in God and I'm getting my eyes off of people. Your life will change if you do that. Stand up with me. You ought to be at the altar right now. Where are you going to put your trust? If the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Our Father, God, I pray right now you touch this invitation. May couples come with their children. May folks say, I want you to smile on me. I want my family to be smiled on. God, touch us in Jesus' name. Amen. You come. I'm praying you come on.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the same. Jesus, precious Jesus.